In the winter months, the ground dies. But in the spring, it is resurrected back to life. Many of you who are gardeners, whether you plant vegetables or whether you plant flowers, you realize that you can't go out in January and plant anything. Why? Because the ground is dead. But what happens in the spring? The spring comes back to life. The ground comes back to life. And that is symbolic of the fact that the ground has experienced a what? A resurrection.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Feasts of First Fruits. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Feasts of First Fruits.
That their soul is annihilated, they cease to exist, and their body just rots in the grave. And Paul realized that this was the attitude. And so now Paul begins to address this question. And the first thing he says, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. Again, Sadducees. The body does not rise from the dead. It stays in the ground and it decays. Well, if the body stays in the ground and it decays, then Christ is still in the ground, decaying. Paul says in verse 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And so we look at the fact that there is solid proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Muslim and a Christian were in a debate one day. The Muslim mocked the Christian and said, "You celebrate a leader, a founder, who you don't know where his body is at. We celebrate our founder, Muhammad. We know where his tomb is. We know where his body is." And the Christian said, and there, my friend, is the difference. You know where the body of your founder is, but the body of our founder is not in the grave. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where he lay. Not come see the place where he's laying, but come see the place where he lays. If Christ be not risen, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is still in the tomb. And I remember a song back in the 70s. It said, if God is dead, who's listening and who's answering prayers? If God is dead, and I like this part right here, who can tell me where his body lies? If he's dead, somebody show me the place where his body is. And that is the power of the Christian faith, is the empty tomb. And as we come today, we rejoice, not because there's a body in the tomb, but because the tomb is empty. Praise God for the empty tomb. Amen. If there is no resurrection, in verse 14, if there is no resurrection, then all preaching is in vain. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. So, y'all might as well just go on home. I'm just up here, as James Brown said, that great theologian. Like a dull knife, it just ain't cutting. Talking loud and saying nothing. Talking loud and saying, that's all I'm doing. I'm just up here running my mouth. If Christ is not risen, y'all might just all go home. Now, don't leave all at once. Be respectful. Stay here to the end. And then just walk out and say, man, he was just talking about a bunch of nothing. Right? That's the truth. If Christ is not, man, just think. I don't know about you, But my whole life is centered around the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I mean, everything about me centers around the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I was standing at the back one Sunday, and the lady came by, and she said, "Pastor Glaze," she said, "I sure do enjoy your preaching. I sure do enjoy your preaching." She said, "But could you say a little bit less about Jesus?" That's the message. That's the message right there. He's the center of the message. If I take him out, I don't have anything. You know, I might as well just go ahead and line up some engagements and just be a motivational speaker, right? I can motivate folk. You know, I can motivate you to charge hell with a water pistol, right? I could be a great motivational speaker. But the heart of my message is Jesus Christ. And without him, there's no substance in my message. Without him, all these TV, radio preachers, Tony Evans, David Jeremiah, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, all these TV preachers, they're just taking people's money and using up airtime. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. If there's no resurrection, then the disciples are false witnesses. Look at verses 15 and 16. "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if it be so that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." Now, let me show you something. Can you go on to those slides, those next couple slides? Let me show you something. All right, the apostles, right? James was put to death with the sword. He was likely beheaded because he was preaching the gospel. The apostle Peter said when they got ready to kill him, they were going to crucify him on the cross. And Peter said, "I'm not worthy to be killed the same way my Lord was." And they turned Peter upside down and crucified him. Matthew was martyred in Ethiopia. He was killed with a sword. John, they hated his preaching so much, the apostle John, that they sent him to the Isle of Patmos. And when he got to the Isle of Patmos, they put him in a cauldron of burning oil, and they tried to burn him alive to death. And somehow God miraculously intervened, and he was spared from that cauldron of burning oil, and he actually went back into Turkey, or modern-day Ephesus, and he died as an old man. So he was really one of the only apostles that died peacefully. James, the brother of Jesus, he wasn't officially an apostle. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was thrown from the southeastern pinnacle of the temple over 100 feet down when he refused to deny his faith in Jesus Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat him to death with a club. And this is thought to be the same pinnacle where Satan took Jesus at the temptation. So he was beaten to death with a club. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, was a missionary in Asia. He witnessed in present-day Turkey and was martyred for preaching in Armenia, being flayed to death with a whip. You know what that means? They literally tore the skin off of his bones because he was preaching the gospel. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece after being whipped severely by 7 soldiers. They tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong the agony. His followers reported that when he was led toward the cross, Andrew saluted it in these words, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour. The cross has been my consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it." And he continued to preach to his tormentors for days until he died. The Apostle Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish a church there. Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace Judas, Judas Iscariot, and we don't hear too much about him after he was selected, but he was actually stoned and beheaded. And the Apostle Paul, we all know what happened to him. He awaited trial in a Roman prison. And according to tradition, he was beheaded by Emperor Nero. Now, these guys, Peter and John, ran to the tomb. They looked in. They saw the tomb was empty. The Bible says that Jesus appeared to all 12 disciples. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think that if they knew that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they would go through all that? Do you think that they would have the skin literally whipped off of their bones if they knew it was a lie? Do you think that they would be crucified upside down? Do you think they would go into a pot of boiling oil? Do you think they would be stoned to death? Do you think they would be clubbed to death if they knew it was a lie that Jesus rose from the dead? They knew something. And they were willing to die for it because they knew that Jesus rose from the dead. And so he said here that the disciples are false witnesses. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be a false witness like that. I wouldn't want to witness false about Jesus dying and rising from the dead. You know, I'll tell you what. Some of us have a hard enough time living for the truth. And if we know something is a lie, I guarantee you most of y'all wouldn't even be sitting here today if you knew it was a lie that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. You wouldn't be here today. But you're here because you believe that he rose from the dead. If there is no resurrection, then the believer's faith is in vain, and he is still in his sins. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. You are still in sin. That you walk around thinking that you're forgiven. You walk around thinking that God has taken your sin away. No, buddy, I got news for you. You are still in your sin. I remember the night I got saved. I've shared my testimony before. But you can ask my wife. She'll tell you. I was one of the biggest heathen on this side of heaven. And when God saved me, he reached down into the barrel and scraped the bottom and got me up. And I remember the night that I got saved. And you know what? It wasn't years later till I understood this, that it was thundering and lightning, pouring down, raining outside, dark outside. And that night when I gave my life to Christ, it seemed like my whole world just lit up. Now, I know everybody doesn't have this experience, so I'm not trying to cookie cut my experience and say you got to have this. Everybody doesn't have it. I'm just telling you what happened to me. It just seemed like my whole world lit up. And when I went outside, it was still dark and raining, but it would just seem like my whole world was lit up. And you know what? It wasn't until years later that I really understood what happened on that night. And what happened on that night was that God, that I for years, I had walked around carrying this sin. Year after year, carrying this sin. Just carrying this sin on my back. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God reached down and took that sin burden off of me and put it on Jesus Christ. And it was at that point that I knew, or I felt anyways, that something had happened. And I understood that God lifted my sin off of me. And I tell you what, there's nothing like having your sin lifted off of you. In Psalm 32, David carried his sin around with Bathsheba for a year, and it was almost like he was like a balloon carrying his sin around. And then Psalm 32:1, the first thing he says, Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. Blessed is the man. What happened to him? That he had been released from the sin that he had been carrying. Paul says, if there be no resurrection, then you're still in your sin. Well, I don't know about you, but I know that my sin has been lifted. He says that if there be no resurrection, And this is probably the saddest part right here, that those who have died, all your loved ones, that they're now perishing. Look at verses 18 and 19. He said, then they also who are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Somebody said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a myth. Well, if it's a myth, then I'm mistaken, and I'm among most men most miserable. It's a myth. There's been many days as pastor of this church, we had a funeral service. And some in December, January, and February. And after we get done here, we go to the gravesite. And I've stood at the gravesite, and some of you have stood with me on some cold, cold days. I mean, the wind was blowing, and I was trying to get the committal in before we froze to death. And then sometimes even we watched the body, the casket, being lowered into the ground. And some people even stand around and watch the dirt being thrown on top of it. Paul said that if there be no resurrection, then your loved one is still in the grave. And that wouldn't you hate to think on a cold, lonely night that your mother or your grandmother is out there laying in that grave just freezing. Praise God. They're not out there freezing because they are risen from the dead. I like what was on one tombstone in England. It said, beneath these clouds and beneath these trees lies the body of Solomon Pease. This is not Pease. It's only his pod. Pease has been shelled out and gone home to God. Amen. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection. There was somebody who was always playing practical jokes, and he died. And somebody said, here goes his shell because the nut is gone. Going to be with the Lord. Man, what a blessing it is to know that our loved one, the ones that we hold so dear, the ones that we hold so precious, that the Bible says for them to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, that they are in the presence of the Lord right now, not because of works that they have done, but because of what Christ has done, that he died and rose again. And that's why the songwriter said that nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Faultless to stand before the throne, dressed in his righteousness alone. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection. I've told this story before about the man who died and left an insurance check to his wife. And the wife had two sons, and she brought them in, and she began to tell them about this insurance check. And she had one son that was a little shady, and the other one, you know, had her best interests at heart. And so she was telling them about the check and, you know, what she had plans on doing. And so she put the envelope down on the table. And her son, who was kind of shady, he took the envelope and ran out the door. Now, she was back in the kitchen cooking. The other son, he was kind of torn as to whether to go after him or stay there. So he was going back and forth. And so finally he said, well, I'm going to go after him, but I'm going to go tell mom what he did. So he went back in the kitchen and began to tell her what he did, and she just kept doing what she was doing. He said, don't you care that he took that envelope? She just kept on doing what she was doing. He said, don't you care? Well, if you're not going to do anything, I'm going to go after him. And she said, wait a minute, wait a minute. And she reached down into her apron, and she said, he might have the envelope, but I got the check. I got the check. I'm here to tell you today that the grave might get the envelope, but God got the check. He said, look what he says here. He says, verse 18, then they also who are falling asleep in Christ are perishing. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, that your loved ones are still in the grave, just perishing away. And then let me close by saying this, the victory in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, there's one thing that we all inherited from Adam, and that is death. Even so, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. When Christ died and was put in the tomb and rose again, he was God's best and he was the first. See, this is where the Jehovah's Witness get it wrong. Right, here's where, let me tell you where Jehovah's Witness get it wrong. They said that he is the firstborn of God's creation, right? Y'all, if you ran into Jehovah's Witness, you know they say he is the firstborn of creation. Well, they got it wrong. That's not what it means. That's not what this means. What it means is Christ is the first fruits. That if you look at the Bible, there were several people who died and were brought back to life. But you know what happened to all of them? They all died again. Christ is the first fruit that rose from the dead and stayed alive. And because he stayed alive, there's two things about the first fruit. The first thing is that it was the best, all right? The first and the best. But let me tell you what else, all right? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to let y'all go eat breakfast. But let me say this. The second thing. Paul talks about it. The fact that he rose is the guarantee that we're going to rise. Amen. Amen. Remember the priest? Remember the priest? He waved the sheaf. It was accepted, and it guaranteed what? The rest of the harvest would be blessed. Christ waved the sheaf, and all those who believe in him will follow him in resurrection. Christ was the down payment on our resurrection. And so because he lives, we're going to live. Father, we thank you for Jesus being the first fruit of the believer. Lord, what a powerful word lesson that we have. When we look at the Old Testament and see this whole idea, see this whole concept of first fruit, Lord, we realize that it comes to life in Jesus Christ. And so thank you for allowing Christ to be our first fruit. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as the harvest to live in a manner that would glorify you. Father, I pray today that if there's someone here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray today that they might come and give their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's someone here today that's looking for a church home, place to worship, this is where you desire for them to be. We pray that you would guide and direct them. They would come today. Lord, we commit this invitation to you. Let us stand.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Feasts of First Fruits, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feasts of First Fruits. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feasts of First Fruits. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.